certainly do get what you pay for, don't you, Lisa?
You do. I keep telling you that.
We get some comments that on our various posts on various platforms. We get comments, and I think you and I should take a look at some of those comments in this episode and reply to some of them, talk about them.
I think it's safer together.
I agree.
Welcome to Politics is Broken with Brittle Starr and Lisa B. Canadian and global politics unspun. Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then we'll begin.
Hi there. Welcome to Politics is Broken. My name is Brittle Starr.
My name is Lisa. Your name is Stuart. Let's be real. They all know.
Would you do that to Batman?
They all know.
I know. I had a big issue with, because I chose the name Brittle Starr. It used to be a band name.
Okay.
And I chose it because I couldn't possibly imagine marketing an album with the name Stuart Reynolds or selling it, specifically sell a t-shirt with Stuart Reynolds on it. It's not very rock and roll. You got to go hard in either direction. It's got to be super cool, like Max Power, or something like Lenny Kravitz is the other end of the spectrum. It's got to be goofy as hell. Then that works as well. And Stuart Reynolds just didn't do it.
It is what you make of it, right?
Well, I know. And since I did the book, the Cat Lessons from Cat books, Lessons from Cat's book, some of the international markets were like, we don't know who the hell Brittle Starr is.
But Stuart Reynolds. You.
Like, oh, yeah. They know who Stuart Reynolds is. That's better.
Don't hide behind the mask. Just be who you are or be proud of who you are.
This is Politics is Broken has now become a self-help podcast.
It's like inspirational. Yeah, exactly.
It's just all cut up into small little Instagram chunks of self.
We go where we're needed, right?
We go where we're needed. We're like the first responders to your heart. It's good, right?
That's got to be on a t-shirt.
Yeah. You're doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying it was a big Chinook out there in Alberta.
Oh, I don't know that Edmonton gets a Chinook, like, Southern Alberta is famous for their Chinooks, but it was 10 degrees in Edmonton this past week.
Insanity. I guess, you know, it was 10 degrees last week here as well. Maybe it's just the climate.
They're doing flip-floppies because we had snow and then you were beautiful and now we're beautiful and you have snow.
Yeah. Do you have very much snow left at all?
It is amazing how much it's gone down. Like every day. Oh, oh, yeah.
8 degrees is the point where you start to lose a ton of snow, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I'm not basing that on anything scientific. It's just vibe.
Oh, it's an okay.
Snow vibe.
Your snow vibe knowledge. Now it just everything is icy and wet.
Then it becomes a bit of a wrist breaker. That's the problem. So if you're out there in the snow and you get a bit of a melt, you see some shiny ice, be careful. The wet ice. That's always the wet ice is always the most treacherous.
You gotta do that penguin walk.
Yeah.
Called the grandma shuffle that I do. Yeah.
Shannon, last night, my lovely bride, before bed, we looked out the front door because there was a ton of snow coming down quite quickly. And it was like, oh, this is worth looking out the front door for. That's the kind of stuff you do in the suburbs.
Your before bed ritual.
Yeah. You're like, that's enough Schitt's Creek for tonight. And then you go and you open the front door. And we looked outside and it was the front path was just like entirely covered in snow, like about a foot, at least a foot and a half of snow, all drifted in. And I can't remember exactly the core of the dare. However, I did say to her, she said, oh, I could, well, I said, the reason is because I went to get the newspaper the previous morning in my bare feet because there wasn't really any snow. I said, but you have to be careful because you're the human foot.
What do you mean there wasn't really any snow? You went out barefoot with snow?
I went out barefoot with a little bit of snow. Yeah, but you have to be careful because the human foot is not meant for traction.
Nor is it meant to walk on snow.
No, but it's freeing. And it's exactly that's the first thing people think when they look at what a hippie. And so we were talking about that. I said, you'd have to be careful. I said, you couldn't do that. Now you couldn't. If you go out there right now on bare feet, which she was, you'd slip. And it was all I could do to restrain her. I know. It was all I could do to restrain her from going outside. I shut the door and I was like, okay, I'm going to go upstairs to bed, see you up there. And then I realized, oh, dear God, she's going to just go out with when I'm upstairs. And then I'm going to find her in the morning just with a broken leg.
Frozen?
Frozen, exactly. So I said to her, you know what? I dare you. And she went straight outside. I have video of it, which I might show you at some point.
Insert here.
Exactly. She'd kill me if I did that.
I know she would.
In her pajamas out there in the snow. And she barefoot out, got to the corner, almost wiped out, but then used her Ottawa Hull Valley training, a winter training to get sure-footed again and made it all the way back safely to the house again. So what a story, eh?
Do you guys have those boxes at the corner?
What kind of boxes?
Well, like those mailboxes?
like super boxes, like where everyone's got a mailbox in them? Yeah, we do.
Mine's right outside my door.
Is it?
Yeah, on my house.
So did they get it? Does it get all cleared and shoveled for you then?
It's on my house. I have to clear and shovel it myself.
You have to clear and shovel it.
Like, it's not a super box. I have my own mailbox. Like, it's on my house. They come to my home. This is why I love Canada Post. And please don't change your service. Just come right up to me.
I have to go to a super box at the end of our street.
Yeah, I know. I've seen those. Terrible.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
And sometimes the locks freeze. And then they really get angry at you when you try to use like a little, like a lighter or like a WD-40 with a matchbook. They get
super angry.
I believe
that's called vandalism.
They don't like it.
I think there's some laws against that, especially because it's a federal program.
Exactly.
There's Brittle Star just trying to light up the mailboxes
again. I'm sure there's nothing flammable in this huge box full of people's mail.
No. Paper doesn't light on fire.
Speaking of dumpster fires, the world.
Yes.
So one of the reasons we wanted to do a reply to comments show is that there's a lot of terrible things happening in the world, and we can get fixated on those for a little while. So why not get fixated on people's gripes? Dead. But some of the stuff, of course, that have happened, that's happened in the past few days, has been the premier of Quebec, Legault, has stepped down.
I know.
Which is something. Do we have any? I guess we can't really talk necessarily about guessing why he stepped down.
Pourquoi? I don't know. Pourquoi? I'm sad for Dofo because I feel like him, like I thought the two of them like got together.
You were like a bon cop, bad cop situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
CBC he died. At its finest.
He died in Ontario. Yeah, but his ass is in Quebec. One of my favorite lines from that movie. It doesn't matter.
You did.
But yeah, interestingly, and I didn't realize until today that I was reading that Legault was one of the founders of Air Transat.
For real?
For reals, for reals. But yeah, so I didn't realize that, which is interesting, because Air Transat, I feel, comparatively, relatively, is a good airline.
Yeah.
Only a couple of times they made me wait an incredibly long time for a flight, but apart from that, they've been pretty good.
He was probably like, Air Canada, no.
Exactly.
I want Transat.
Fly the Fleur de Lis.
So he'll be fine, is what you're saying. Like when he retires.
Interesting, though, that he did that. It left the party in a bit of a turmoil. So we'll see what happens in Quebec, but we can talk about that another time.
Okay. Nothing serious today.
Nothing serious. We'll see how the comments go. I also want to talk about, just briefly touch on Carney, Prime Minister Carney's trip to China, which, of course, is tied to the tariffs and EVs, electric vehicles.
Of course.
And also tied to canola. Right?
Yeah, they like our canola.
But they put a tariff on it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
We tariff their batteries and their vehicles, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Sorry.
No, I was going to ask you what your take is, and you just started with your take. So we're indexical.
There we go. I don't understand why we put such high tariffs on the EVs from China, because when we had that whole net 30 thing happening, one would think that would have been good to have more reasonably priced EVs coming into Canada.
Yeah, and I think you'll find the main reason is that the Chinese EVs aren't manufactured in North America, as far as I know. And
good.
They're incredibly cheap. Meaning, like, they're apparently really good. They're
good,
really good.
Yeah.
But they cost very little comparatively. And they're manufactured very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the episode of The Simpsons where someone asks Marge what the secret to her pork chops are. And she says, salt. It's kind of like if you ask what the secret to the low-cost EVs are, it's like a slave labor. So I think that's part of it, is that they're not paying union wages. And that's why it's so much cheaper.
We were worried about the Temu aspect of vehicles coming from China.
We are?
Like that it's looks like a car, but is it a car?
I've seen a couple in real life in the UK, and they are nice looking cars.
Yeah.
Like they look great. Do they drive well? I've watched a couple of videos where people said that they're fantastic. They drive really well. They have all the bells and whistles. They're really cool. So I think the Chinese EV tariffs were largely put in place to protect the automotive industry in Canada. And a friend of mine, Flavio Volpe, of course, is leading the charge to protect the automobile industry in Canada. But I have worries that in light of the situation with the U.S., I'm not sure we're going to be able to protect the automotive industry in Canada for much longer.
Not for American vehicles, no.
No.
So why couldn't we work out a deal where, like, they send us... I talk like I'm a hillbilly. Send us the vehicle in a box and we could have our people put it together in a factory.
An IKEA car.
Exactly. But we could have industry here.
I think that's part of the discussion is going to be to have manufacturing take place in Canada. Mm-hmm. It'd make a big difference. Because I think, to me, we have, I'm going to say, general to skilled workforce in automotive mm-hmm. industry in Canada. Like, we have people mm-hmm. who really know what they're doing, know how to build cars, know how to do it at scale, and do it really well. I don't think it really matters if it's Ford or GM or a Chinese EV. I don't think it matters who the company is. Because we make RAV4s, Toyota RAV4s, mm-hmm. which are largely, almost entirely, I believe, made in Canada. So we can do it. There's just this lingering thing of if we get rid of the tariffs, we're gonna draw the ire of Trump. And it's too late, man. The guy's bonkers.
What does it matter? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to do what he's going to do regardless. I don't even think he really pays attention to what we're tariffing elsewhere. Don't get rid of all the tariffs. We need tariffs. Tariffs aren't always necessarily a bad thing. But I think it was so high when it first came out that it just ixnayed any possibility. And I've seen videos online, which I know I probably shouldn't pay attention to. But like this one. But those EVs seem to have a lot of bells and whistles.
Yes.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like
they are tricked out. They like look at the SUV I saw looked amazing. It looked as nice as the nicest Cadillac mm-hmm. or Lincoln or Lexus SUV
right.
I've seen.
You could live in those, but I always had this question about electric vehicles because I do not have one.
Mm-hmm.
What do people in apartments do?
I think the idea is that the apartment blocks will get in charging stations. So that's what you'll see at the parking lot of there's an apartment building not too far from here that was just built recently. And I believe there's electric car charging stations okay. in the parking lot.
Okay.
But that's the same kind of thing. That's I think electric vehicles, I'm a proponent of electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. I like them. I think they're just going to get better and better, obviously. Mm-hmm. Range is a huge thing. And then the speed of charging is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Because it's a different way of driving. If you drive for a long road trip in a gas car, you stop for gas, you fill up, and it takes you all of 5 minutes, and then you're on your way again.
Mm-hmm.
You drive a long road trip in an electric vehicle, you're stopping for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, maybe
depending.
An hour.
Yeah.
But if you adjust how you travel and you think, we'll drive this far and stop for lunch, then 40 minutes is no big deal.
No, you just plug it in, go and have lunch, right?
Exactly.
It's the batteries blowing up upon impact that concerns me. But anyhow.
Such a stickler.
I know, right? I'm always just a dark cloud of badness.
You're always worried about exploding batteries.
I don't like fire. So.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, no, I think it's going to get better and better, and I'm a bit of a proponent of them. But of course, like even in the UK, my brother-in-law has and sister-in-law have an electric vehicle, and they have no dedicated parking spot for their house.
Oh, okay.
So they have to go to a charging station and then walk two or three blocks back from the charging station. Or they can run a cord from inside their house through their letterbox out across the sidewalk and into the car parked on the street. If they can park close enough to their house, which is not a guarantee and happens rarely. And they had to get one of those, you go to a concert or something and there's cords running across the floor and they have those heavy plastic mat things. Not mats, but like little bridges over them.
The safety thing.
Yeah, they had to buy one of those. The council was like, you have to do that to make it safe, which is fair. Also people in wheelchairs and stuff like that and prams and all that kind of thing. Prams. But yeah, so you make it fun of prams.
How British you are, prams.
Buggies, is that better? Baby buggies.
Baby buggy.
Yes, I think it's going to take a little bit of change, but I'm secretly hopeful that we can get some of these Chinese cars here. Shannon mm-hmm. is mostly worried about a kill switch.
Fair.
But also, get them from the States, I'm worried about a kill switch.
At this point, I'm more worried about anything coming from the States.
I know.
China. Who'd have thunk it? Right?
Yeah. Speaking to that, of course, another big thing in the news was Greenland. There's a story. This seems like a tangent, but it's not. It's a related story. The supergroup Traveling Wilburys. This is a good one. So when Roy Orbison, of course, it was Traveling Wilburys, was made up of Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, George Harrison, Roy Orbison. Who am I missing? Bob Dylan as well. That's quite a supergroup.
Yeah, there's something. What it is.
Jeff Lynne's still around.
Oh, Jeff Daisy. Okay, so two of them.
Jeff Lynne or is it Bob? Yeah, Jeff Lynne and Bob Dylan are still around. But when Roy Orbison died, he's the first one of those guys to pass away. And Tom Petty called up George Harrison and said, I'm glad it was him and not us. He goes, yeah, meaning it's coming for us all. We dodged a bullet. That's how I feel about Greenland and Venezuela. Greenland is Venezuela.
Venezuela is the Roy Orbison. of nations? Is that what we're talking about?
I'm not making light of it because it's, I mean, it's, I'm, there's a ridiculousness to this whole scenario that I need to make light of it somehow in my head. And that's how I see Venezuela as the Roy Orbison.
People need a picture. That's a picture,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You're more than 40 years old.
With the oil in Venezuela, you could drive all night.
To get to somewhere. Yeah.
That's right. But yeah, and then of course, when the things happen in Venezuela, and then Trump's attention turned to Greenland again, and we need it for security reasons, which makes no sense whatsoever, because of course they're part of, they're of course not owned as such, but part of Denmark, and Denmark being part of NATO, which we're all supposed to be on the same team here, guys.
Right? Come on.
And then things moved and transpired onto the point where yesterday, past couple of days, I saw that Macron had said that France is sending troops to do military exercises on Greenland. It's just like a reminder, guys, don't mess with this. Don't do this. It's shocking.
I'm sure Greenland just wants to be left alone and forgotten about, like it has been for the last however many times.
Greenland and now wants to be the Jeff Lynne of the Wilburys.
Right? Is he dead? Is he not dead? We don't really know. We know he's in there.
Happy.
We don't know what he did, but he's on the credit. I feel bad for Greenland. On the flip side, everybody's fighting over you. Everybody wants a little piece of you.
That's terrible.
I know. Because it's absurd. The whole thing is just goddamn absurd. So you have to make light of it.
When I saw Macron's statement about the French military doing exercises and military exercises in Greenland, I was like, I had to back up a step and go, they're doing this in case the USA attacks. Yeah.
Oui. They're just smoking cigarettes and eating croissants. And they're like, somebody, no entree.
Somebody has to slap this guy's wrist, Trump's wrist. Mm-hmm. Because without any pushback, why would he stop?
That's the thing. And that's what kind of think what we talked about last week is that somebody needs to say, no, I'm sorry. No, you don't get what you want. And that was always my concern is that because Greenland is associated with Denmark and we kiss Greenland, any action against that is going to bring in the EU, right?
Yeah.
Then we get NATO. That means us. There's a lot of consequences to this orange temper tantrum that's happening for security. You want security? Don't be a dick, right? Talk to Russia. Talk to China. Like, everything's fine. No one's coming for you, blob. Except the
girl. I mean, it's also false pretense, I think, the idea of security.
Of course it is. They just want to be able to put their warheads and things like that. And
yeah, exactly.
It's not for their security. It's other people should be worried about security.
Other people should be worried about it, exactly. So, of course, as we were saying, there's lots of things happening in the dumpster fire that is this planet we currently live on. I was thinking about, I was telling you before we started recording that yesterday I was very angry in the morning. And one of those days where you're just in a bad mood, you're grumpy, but everything is like just pissing you off and it's just making you really angry. And nothing was happening, and it was all just frustrating and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, I think a lot of it is stress from the news. Like, it's just, and it's largely one dude that's causing it. It's largely Trump that is causing all this stress and his cronies, of course, all his little sycophants. And I had a flashback to how good it felt when Biden won the election and his inauguration. And I thought, and I think more to the point, is about a month after that, I thought to myself, I haven't heard anything from Biden. This is fantastic.
Yeah. You felt you could breathe a little, right? Mm-hmm. I feel all of us are holding our breath. And that's exhausting because you're just waiting for the next thing. What's the next thing? And then the next thing after that. It causes a lot of anxiety, which you may not feel. Like, you may not be able to pinpoint why you are grumpy or want to stay in bed. Or all those things that we go through when there's heavy stuff happening in the world. But that's it. That's why. Because we're just waiting for the next thing.
How do you deal with the stress of consuming the news?
I drink a lot of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I need to take a break every once in a while and not turn on the news or read anything. Because honestly, if I take 2 or 3 days off and I come back, I might have missed something. But there's something new to replace what I might have missed, right?
Yeah.
But I also, there's a lot of people who can't ingest the news, can't watch it for a variety of reasons. And I feel an obligation to be able to look at things and take snippets and provide people with information so that they can hopefully digest it a little bit more palatably than if they had to read news articles or watch news shows.
Yeah, I think that's part of the mission statement that politics is broken, is the idea of consuming the news.
And we have a mission statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we
yeah.
have values?
No, there's no values.
No
values. A mission statement, which is one of my lower back tattoos. It's pretty, it wraps over my top right shoulder.
He made me sign it. I agree to adhere to the mission of politics.
I wish I hadn't chosen red Sharpie. But it's part of the reason we do politics is broken, I think, is, and you do your content as well. And I try to do a little bit of that content on
you
my
do.
Comedy stuff as well. I try to not do too much politics stuff. And I say politics with a really wide berth, like a super wide catch-all meaning of politics.
Being outside my house. Is that
exactly.
was your birth of
exactly.
politics?
Because we've stepped well beyond the realm of just politics and policy. We're into like people dying and suffering and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reasons we do this kind of stuff is to consume it and to hopefully make it so that people can stay somewhat up to date. Again, we're not a news source, but somewhat up to date and can be like, yeah. oh, okay, I know what's going on in the world, which is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to be aware. You don't have to be immersed in it all the time, right?
Yeah, because I think everything is an emergency. Everything is urgent.
Mm-hmm.
And as exactly as you said, 2 days later, there's something brand new or something's changed about that urgent emergency.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do to stop that.
Remember when we were trying to talk about the tariffs way back a year ago?
Mm.
And it was like, oh, no, we have to talk about this. By the time we talked about it, it had changed.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it had changed again. Yeah. So
exactly. Speaking of worthless commentary. Let's go over some of our comments, because I like this idea. I like the idea that people will spend time thinking about and writing with their thumbs or yes. their fingers, depending if they're on a desktop or on their
True.
Phone, in response to some of the videos. And I will say that the vast majority of comments we get, I don't, to be completely honest, I don't go to the comments very often because I have a fragile ego. But when I do, the vast majority are very nice and
Lovely.
Very kind, which is great. So we're going to read some, and then we'll just talk about them. That sounds okay. So this is in response to not last week's episode, but the episode before that, this U.S. manifesto could change Canada about the national security strategy of the U.S. being released and how it didn't directly name check Canada, but it did give, reason, yeah, give us reason for worry, which, yeah. Which was no good talking about a whole Monroe Doctrine, the Donroe document, as he called it, and just that whole idea of the U.S. controlling the Western Hemisphere and just all this nonsense.
I'm going to rename it the Dumb Doctrine.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
This one, I believe, this comment had, I'll do the one that has 28 likes. 28 likes.
Okay. 20,
that's a lot. Every Canadian, this is from Daryl Williams, 7883. 7883 is probably his PIN number, by the way.
I'm just going to call him 03.
Daryl says, every Canadian needs to stop being complacent and come to grips with what the real struggle we have ahead of ourselves is. The American government has been taken over by ruthless people who want to use their economic and military power to turn the entire Western Hemisphere into a vassal state, including Canada. The conservative movement here has been taken over. The Canadian traitors that would gladly help them do it to get and keep permanent power. It's gotten to the point that you cannot really call yourself a Canadian if you insist on voting for Governor Sith or Pierre Polyester. And everyone needs to wrap their minds around that. And believe me, I wish it were hyperbole and we were not in such danger.
I love it when people come up with names for our politicians. Because, like, we do, but, like, I... Pierre Polyester.
Who's Governor Sith? Who's Governor Sith?
I know people call Danielle Smith Danielle Sith.
Oh, I like that.
Right? Yeah, you got to be in Alberta to really get that. But that's a good one.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I agree with Daryl. I think that's a pretty good take. I think where he says every Canadian needs to stop being complacent and come to grips with what the real struggle we have ahead of ourselves is. I think there's a big danger of us brushing over this being, it's okay, it'll be fine. Now, there is an element of things may not be as awful as you think, but also they might. And I think that's part of dealing with someone who's so volatile and so utterly bonkers as Trump. You don't know what he's going to do, and he will do whatever he has to do to win, air quotes, mm-hmm. in his mind. And that's the scary part. If you're playing with someone who's a sane, trustworthy,
reasonable thinking, yeah,
then you can be like, listen, things might not go the way we want them, but they're not going to be terrible. With this, you're like, I don't know, maybe.
I think the situation that we're in, I think he's right. All Canadians should be coming together, regardless of political side. And if you have people that aren't, whether they're politicians, everyday folk, whatever, that are trying to lure in the blob to say, hey, we're here, come take us. Like the treasonous, seditionists, whatever they are, like that has to stop. We need to look towards our own house. You cannot like the governments, you cannot, whether they're provincial, federal, but we need to take care of our own house. If you're inviting crazy man down the street to come into our house and take it over, that is the least Canadian thing you could be doing.
To speak to that point further, one of the comments, other comments in the same episode is from Karen Robson. Karen Robson dash T6H.
Karen?
Just Karen to us. 21 people liked her comment, which is interesting. She said, as an Albertan, and knowing our province has many enemies within being funded slash supported by bad actors between UCP, Cam Davies, the US MAGA supporting them, and the lies in their respective campaigns, I lived through the separatist referendums in Quebec before I was transferred out after the 1995 referendum during the mass exodus and head office moves where 37% of the population left. That is more than a third of the tax base. It killed Quebec's tax base and economy and investment. The province has never properly recovered. She says never recovered, sorry. I signed the recall petition for my MLA in Calgary yesterday. It was frigid out, but it was the first day of signing and we were queued up to sign with multiple forms going simultaneously. I think there's a couple things there. One is to speak to what you were saying. First of all, thank you, Karen, for submitting your comment. And thank you, Daryl, by the way. I didn't thank Daryl as well. I think to speak to what you're saying and that idea of we have to be look what's going on in our own house as well is really important for us to do. And I find I was against Quebec separation and I'm against Alberta separation. Quebec separation, I felt what's going to happen is they're going to separate and then they're going to need help at some point. We're going to have to try to fix it at some point. It's going to be like a Brexit situation. It's going to be total waste of time. So just let's skip that part
and
let's just work together and make sure everyone's as happy as possible. The Alberta separation proposal seems so short-sighted to me and so ludicrous to me because I think you've got the USA with a president who is verbally numerous times stated that he wants to take over Canada, primarily for resources. It's my guess. And you've got this resource-rich province of 5 million people who think,
but we're feisty.
We'll go it alone and we'll negotiate with him. Good
and
luck.
And we'll be fine. We'll
Good
be
luck.
Fine.
I think that is oblivious to me.
I just want to say thank you, Karen, for staying in Alberta and doing your due diligence to try and make change. I've always thought this separatist thing, like the people who are certainly pushing the separatism, like the lead separatists, the head separatists, they're in it for financial gain. There's got to be something. I have nothing to prove that, but come on. And then you have the people that are following along going, yeah, screw Ottawa. But again, could we not just work on dealing with what's in our house, whether that's Ottawa or what have you, as opposed to trying to move in with another neighbor? It's weird to me. You'll find this funny. I don't know if you saw, I think did a video a day or two ago, whatever it was.
You make videos?
I do. You may have seen me in such videos as, fuck you, separatists. They wanted to have independence talk meetings, like gatherings of people. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
At the Royal Canadian Legion and the Canadian Brewhouse. Both who said no. But like, how daft do you have to be to want to have separation talks in places with the name Canadian in them?
I know that it's just a name, but at the same time, it's like, come on, especially the Legion. Get out
right?
of here. That's just a step well beyond the line of reasonableness. But the Brewhouse one, I did see the blowback against that. And the Canadian Brewhouse saying,
whoa, we didn't agree
to anything. We don't do anything political, which I think is the smart statement to have.
Of course.
You don't have to say we're against it. You don't have to say take a stand or anything. You just be like, no. Our stamp name, Canadian Brewhouse. There you go. That's it.
Yep.
That's all.
Anyway.
Yeah, I just think there's a Pretenders to the Throne feel to it. There's a not, I just don't think that people have thought it through very well. And I had similar feelings, and I know I'll probably get punched when I say this, when I go back to Scotland. But there's a big separatist movement in Scotland. And I think that this, since Brexit, it's been the most I've been convinced that it might be a good idea.
Okay.
But same situation, similar population to Alberta. I think there's maybe 9 million, probably less than that, like 6 million people maybe in total in Scotland.
Okay.
And they would like to separate from the UK. Primarily as well, if they separate, they'd be part of the EU again. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I see that. And they're like, we've got so much oil here. We've got all these military bases. No, you really don't.
All these sheep that people are wanting.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a romantic idea that is not based in the reality of the current situation.
I just think you're stronger together.
Yeah,
I agree. You have full acknowledgement and autonomy. It's a label, but you're stronger together. That's maybe short-sighted, but that's what I think.
No, I think it's like when you go to these, like we buy a lot of our stationery from an independent. Stationery sounds like we do a lot of letter writing. But like packaging stuff and all that kind of stuff for the merch. We'll buy a lot of it from an independent store here in town. But they are part of a collective, a buying collective that makes sure they get the same kind of deals as the big box stores. Right. Yeah, you're better together.
Percent.
Yeah, yeah. Bradley P. 3655 said, the U.S. is an empire in rapid decline. They are desperate to keep their economic and political dominance and influence. Agree or disagree?
Yeah.
Do we think it's in decline for reals?
It has to be, because I feel like when you keep trying to go up, at some point you have to come down. And with all the things that they're pushing, like things were bad before. But with all the stuff that they're trying to push and all these broken promises that things are going to get better and your eggs are going to be $2 again and all that crap, at some point it's got to. Remember The Price is Right? That little mountain guy?
Oh, yeah, go up. Sure. Yeah.
At some point they're going to fall off the ledge. Not to the extent that we would all potentially like to see, not for the American people, but for the establishment. But I think there's going to at some point be a pushback, and hopefully this regime, should they allow democratic elections in the future, will suffer the consequence of the actions that they're portraying right now.
I hope we're wrong, but I think you might be right. I think I might agree with you in that. And it's terrifying. That's really terrifying as someone who is, I think that America has brought lots of amazing things to the world, done lots of great things for the world. And I feel like it used to be cool.
Germany brought us the Volkswagen. Then we had to not like them for a bit. And then,
So that was Bradley. And then I just wanted to touch base on this SI Guy 7480. Thanks, Bradley, for your comment, by the way. And Sci Guy, in same area of discussion, said the USA is dying. We need to get away from them before they bring us with them. Is there really any way for Canada? We touched on this last week, for Canada to save itself while America seems to swirl.
Like we said last week, I really think we need to diversify our relationships with other countries, right? Again, the one thing that I'll ever agree with Danielle Smith on was that she had said we thought that our relationships were pretty solid and they turned out to not be with the US. Mm. And that's literally us putting all of our eggs in one basket. And so I think that's the wake-up call that Canada and Canadians need to really take seriously, is that we can't just count on one person or one country. We need to be able to count on ourselves more, but we also need to work with other people a little bit more than we have in the past.
Do you remember when Danielle Smith went to the inauguration but wasn't actually invited and couldn't get in? Mm-hmm. And then do you remember when she went to Mar-a-Lago and posed with Kevin O'Leary, her and Kevin O'Leary with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago? Do you think there's any embarrassment about that?
You'd have to have insight to have embarrassment, right? I don't think so. I feel like Danielle Smith is somebody that just keeps looking forward, doesn't necessarily go back, because she has said and done a lot of things that when you look back on, they're so cringe. Yeah. Cigarettes are good for you. I think for somebody like a Danielle Smith, that was just a necessary step that I had to do.
Right.
And so.
And I'll lump Trudeau in there as well. Like his trip to Mar-a-Lago, even at the time, I was like, what are we doing? Anyone who knows anything about this guy knows this is going to be a wasted trip and you're going to look like a mug. And he essentially did.
Yeah.
It did not do anything good for Trudeau whatsoever. I understand. I also understand the idea of Daniel Smith's position and Trudeau's position of being like, we have to do what's right for Canada and slash Alberta. But
I don't think the last term, yeah, I think we've all forgot, but I don't know that the full extent of the dementia we were aware of when Danny and Trudeau went down. I don't know. It's like, it's such a pick me moment, right? If I go, then he'll really like me. You know what I mean? And I'll be okay. And it's no, he just knows that you're easy.
We've talked about it numerous times about how I can't believe so many people are terrible judges of character. I couldn't believe it when they elected him the first time, Trump the first time. But I thought to myself, because there was a fantastic commercial that was put out before he got elected in 2016, where 2016? Yes. And the commercial was about how this guy was an architect, so he had a small architecture firm, and he had been hired by Trump to design something in Atlantic City for him, and he did. And then Trump was like, I'm not paying you, I'll pay you a third or whatever, half of your invoice or something. And it basically just ruined the guy's life. They had to shut his business down. He had to fire everybody. And it was like, yeah, there seemed to be a ton of those stories. And I really only need two.
You need the first one and one to corroborate.
Exactly. Yep. And you're like, that's enough. I've got it. Because I think anybody else you're doing real life with, if someone screwed you over or you heard someone screwed you over, let's just do a Facebook Marketplace example. I've never used Facebook Marketplace, by the way. It sounds sketchy as hell to me.
Like Stratford doesn't do that. We don't do marketing.
Oh, no, they do. Facebook Marketplace, okay. Yes. And people dreaming of a better world. And let's do a Facebook Marketplace analogy. So if you're about to sell something to someone who's on Facebook Marketplace, and you've got two people who have messaged you saying, hey, listen, or one person messaged you and say, listen, this person didn't pay me for this. And they just came in and took the thing and they just left and didn't pay me. You're like, I don't know. Maybe that was just a bad personal, weird personality thing. Yeah, a character clash. And then you get somebody else.
Exactly.
You don't know what the story is.
Yeah.
And you get somebody else going, hey, listen, this is a slightly different story, but they also ripped me off as well. That's all I need.
Yeah.
That's all I need to be like, you know what? I think this person is not the person to do business with.
But so many people are like couldn't possibly happen to me. I'm a good person. Yeah. I'll get my money in the mailbox. No, you won't.
I'm going to move on to comments from Is Canada Too Reliant on the U.S., which was last week's episode. And this one stood out. This comment stood out to me quite a bit. And it ties into the same kind of conversation by Char-77. I'm guessing Char was born in 77. That's my guess.
You're disclosing people's pins and now their birthdays. Jesus.
Listen, protect yourself. Gird your loins online.
The internet is scary.
That's right. It's the big bad world. Shara77 says, I also raised alarm bells in 2016 and was scoffed at. How do we feel about that? Because I agree.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of us did. I think it was when he was first elected, I was like, what timeline are we in?
Mm-hmm.
That this, because let's be real, we've known he's a bad dude for a long time.
Absolutely.
When I'm trying to think of, because like, obviously, I wasn't aware of his business, I don't even want to say prowess, but his business failures. But I remember when he cheated on, his wife with Marla, and I thought, this guy's a creepy dude.
Yeah.
This guy's a creepy dude.
Because you're a good judge of character, I think.
And then dumped Marla to go, right? So I just knew he wasn't a good guy, even when I was like younger. And then, so when he was elected, I thought this isn't going to be good. But foolish me was like, this will never happen again.
Yeah.
People will have learned, right? People will have learned. And over the 4 years of Biden, he got exponentially worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like Donald Trump was just toiling away for those 4 years, right? Thinking of all the things that he's going to do. And it's exponentially uglier than it was in 2016.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
But good on you, Char. We would have hung out.
Yeah, exactly. Same. Yeah. So this was interesting. Karen Robson, our favorite commenter, another comment on another episode here with 17 people liked her comment when this was captured.
That's pretty good.
The democratic countries which should be treating the U.S. like Russia at this point, sanctions, etc. The U.S. military needs to wake the F up.
I like Karen.
Karen's feisty.
Yeah, I like her. She's a bird girl.
Exactly. You can
just
tell.
You got to be feisty. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you're just, if you're transplant Alberta, it all comes out. You can't just be in Alberta and not get a little Alberta on you. You know what I mean?
Little Alberta schmutz on you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It seeps in. It's interesting because I recently in the news, I think it was Elizabeth Warren, whatever she is, Congress, Senator, I don't know. I can't remember.
I can't keep track of their titles.
They don't want to know either. She had said in relation to the fact that Trump had essentially took all the money from the oil in Venezuela and the sale of that oil and put it into an offshore account in Qatar.
Mm.
And she said, there's no precedent for a U.S. president to have an offshore account essentially with this kind of money. And I thought to myself, there's no precedent because it's illegal. It's against the law, obviously. That's why there's no precedent for it.
What was the sentence? These are like precedent making times when why are we surprised? So I run out of words because it's like, of course he's going to do shady shit.
I know.
We knew he was going to do shady shit. Like a president is not supposed to gain personally from any transactions that are happening under his governance, right? So, of course, he's got offshore accounts. He's got more than one offshore account, I guarantee you.
I'm sure he does. Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, he's doing things to benefit himself. All of them. All of them. If there was a forensic audit, you can't tell me all of them don't have little
bankrolls
somewhere.
Absolutely, for sure. And it's, as I was reading that news, that comment by Elizabeth Warren, I thought, why did the Democrats still think? And why, more importantly, why did the Republicans...
Mm-hmm.
who are waking up slowly in the U.S., why do they still think that it's going to be the threat of doing something illegal and being called on it is going to make him stop? He's not going to stop.
No, he's not going to stop.
He needs to be literally thrown in jail or something. He needs to. I think the best idea they've had for getting rid of ICE is to just cut the funding. There's no money. None of those guys are going to show up to work anymore.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to be determined, think they're doing the right thing. The majority are like, I'm not doing this. I can't afford to do this. Drive around my big SUV, getting it egged.
I saw a video another content creator did and brought up an amazing point about ICE. People are saying, like, if anyone's ever wondering where the Proud Boys are, where all those fringe groups of anti-immigrant are, they're with ICE. Right? So they don't have to have rallies anymore.
Yeah.
Now they have standard issue guns and they're going out with their masks on and doing terrible things to people.
It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. I'm just trying to see if there's another comment we can read from this one here. I'm reading through to make sure that they're not awful.
I want awful ones. No, don't. I like awful ones. Let's go. I'm on. Get the spicy Verta girl going.
So V. Maxwell says, in relation to that topic of how the threat of the law is not seemingly and evidently not enough to stop the Trump administration from doing what they want to do. V. Maxwell said, the Supreme Court gave Trump full immunity, so the law is irrelevant, which we talked about last week as well. Mm-hmm. I agree.
No, I was going to say, but we've talked about this too. Does it even matter? Does it even matter that it's Trump? Because I feel like the whole movement... thinks the same, right? Yeah. It's like I always say about Alberta. People are like, we got to get rid of Danielle Smith. No, we need to get rid of the party. Because if it's not her, it's going to be somebody else. And as long as the values and the mission of the party is the same, it doesn't matter who's at the podium, right? It's always going to be bad for the vast majority of people. And I think the same thing applies with Trump. Because if it wasn't him, who's going to be Vance? Can you fucking imagine? Little couch fucker running free world. My God.
Elaine Rempel, 1613. Again, that's probably her home phone.
It's her address. Online.
It's her address. Elaine, take your online security seriously, for God's sakes. Elaine says, that was the intent of Project 2025. Doesn't matter which MAGA puppet is in the Oval Office. And that speaks to what you're saying, but I don't necessarily believe that. I think you get rid of Trump for whatever reason. And I'm not wishing anything on anybody. Time's going to catch up to everybody. And I think if he's not at the helm and you get someone like Vance, I don't think Vance has the charisma. I don't know. The biggest issue is going to be, I think the issue is going to be the same issue, which is that unless someone stops people from doing something terrible, that is without legal precedence, which is the dumbest and most annoying thing ever to say, it's look around, Elizabeth. I think it's not going to have the same staying power. I think that you have to give Trump more credit than you think. I think he's incredibly charismatic. I think he's incredibly, like, people, I think there's still a diluted amount of people that want to have this delusion that they can somehow be like him. He's what they want to be. And by letting him run the place, they're going to be, there's a better chance they're going to be like him.
Or that he cares about them personally. But I feel like, I don't just think that if nature catches up to him, that's going to end the cycle. I feel like it's going to be, you know, how they walked around with giant pictures of Stalin for so long.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to happen, that he will then be immortalized.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah. And people will attempt to try and regain that, I guess, charisma that he has. I think, I said it last week, I think it's going to be weakened at Bernie's. I think they're going to still use all the things, prop him up as if he's still there, and hope that people will still buy into that messaging. But you're right. I think at the base of it, I don't know that any of the players, I don't know that any of the players independently have the balls to do what he's done. Like, I try and think of some of the ugly ones, right? Like even Kristi Noem or Hegseth or whatever. I don't know that independently they have the balls to do it. I think they're doing it because they have permission to.
Yeah.
But I fully expect that if something were to, I was going to say untimely, but it might be timely, happens to him, they're just going to walk around with big Stalin pictures.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be like, was it Russia or the Soviet Union that played Swan Lake on a loop when they were deciding what to do, basically?
What would they play?
YMCA.
Sweet. No, it's good. That's gross. Just. Oh, God.
It's a terrible scene. I'm not happy about it.
It's just so icky, right?
It's so horrible and it's so stressful. But I think we wanted to do this episode so that we were just, first of all, because we do appreciate the comment.
Yes.
And a tremendous number of people have been finding the podcast on YouTube, which is great. And we appreciate that. But it, as we were saying earlier, it's about being informed, but not being incapacitated. It's about being aware, but not being immobilized by the amount of garbage.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's so much terrible stuff. And it's all important stuff to know, but it's all important stuff to be aware of. But it's all, it can be too much. You need to take a break every now and then.
I feel like the world right now is like you walking down a dark alley in an unknown city late at night. You just have to be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
And I think that applies to politics.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be aware of your surroundings. That's
it. Yeah. I think, as we've talked about before, I think there's like Virginia Roberts, VO4NT. That's her ham radio code. Virginia, she's massively into the ham. I think that's what they call it in the ham radio community. I'm just teasing, Virginia. I'm teasing. She said, love your podcast. I am very worried about the possible attacks, economic and military, that we could experience from the U.S. And I think that's a lot of people have that common fear currently as well. And I watch, there's a guy on Instagram who's a recent immigrant to Canada from America.
Mm-hmm.
And he, yes.
Yes, yes.
It's great. And I wish I could remember his name. And I
can't remember it either. Yeah.
He could pay for a plug. But he's great. You happen to find him.
He's got free healthcare now. He can afford
it. Exactly. He's fine. But he said he had been asked by some people, are they worried about attacks, the U.S. attacking Canada? And he said, it's just not a feasible. Economically, it would ruin the U.S. It would be a terrible. Now, does that mean people aren't going to get hurt at some point? I'm not sure. I can't speak to that. Do I think there's going to be an actual full-on invasion? I think it's not worth the hassle. We're too big of a landmass, and it would be terrifically awful for lots of the different ways. And as someone pointed out ages ago during the 51st State talk, Canadians look frightfully similar to Americans, so it's hard to tell us, and it makes us very hard to
And for the most part, the rest of the world really likes us.
And this is the thing, as we said before, the rest of the world has to kind of wake up and slap this guy's wrist a little bit and say, go to hell.
Yep.
Because otherwise he won't stop. He won't stop. We'll finish off just here, but the last comment, this is from Pip's mom, -NI6SV. I don't know what that is. If you see someone with a license plate, NI6SV, it's Pip's mom.
Pip is a dog. and the number is the their kennel registration.
How do you know that?
I don't
know. Are you just making that up?
It sounded good, right?
This is why you should never get your news from us.
It's their kennel club registration, I guarantee you. Full Maybe it's a bullshit. Show dog. Bet you it's a show dog.
Types really well.
Not oh, the Pip's mom. The right. mom is the one.
It's not Pip's typing. Account. Jesus. Pip's account is a totally different account. Probably doesn't even watch the show.
It's on Instagram.
Just we'll finish off with this little lighter note here. After hearing, so Pip's mom said, after hearing your intro, the music and the voice at the beginning, I suddenly want to sing It Doesn't Really Matter. Do you know what that's referencing?
I have the, no, okay, tell me.
So the beginning of the show, as you, if you're listening to the show currently, you'll have heard it at the beginning. The announcer says, Canadian Global Politics Unspun. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll, good, then we'll begin.
Platinum Blonde.
Platinum Blonde, exactly.
Got it. I was like, I know the lyric is in my head. The lyric
I
is in my head.
I love that song so yeah, much.
I love it's Platinum Blonde.
If you remember the beginning of their song, it was actually a British woman saying that, are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Mark Holmes, lead singer's mom.
Really? That's Isn't a that sexy nice? Mama.
I don't think he'd like to think of it that way, but I think everybody else was.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
It's Platinum Blonde.
I was sitting comfortably, that's for sure.
I don't want to know about your comfortable.
My comfortable sitting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic tune. If you haven't listened to it, it doesn't really matter. Then, oh my goodness, go listen to it. It's a great pop rock 80s tune.
They had a lot of good songs off that.
Oh, so good. And I was so thrilled when I did three shows with Rob Pruse from the Spoons and sang three tunes. And the drummer, Juice, is the drummer for Platinum Blonde now. So when I played, I think in the Elma Combo, he was playing with the Platinum Blonde kit.
Nice.
The big bass drum, Platinum Blonde. I was like, cool. I just gotta do the ending of that song. No. No.
Yeah.
Oh,
we always bring in things that are quintessentially Canadian. And nobody else is going to understand.
Exactly. We're CanCon, baby. Get used to it.
You got to do me a favor, though. We have to have a bad comment in there.
You want a bad comment?
Give me a bad comment. Let's end the show.
A bad one.
The way that it should be.
Terrible note.
Negatively.
This isn't really a negative comment to us, but rather just an alternative take. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And it's from Barry Brand, 2970. Barry has sadly not received any likes on his comment, but that's no... Listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It is, however, in all uppercase.
I love all caps.
And it says, America is not the threat. Okay.
Okay.
Communist compromised liberals are.
He's talking to you with your CBC mug.
Is that what it is? Am I a communist compromised liberal? Because I have said in my first book, I did say that I was one good sandwich away from being communist and gay, so...
They do not understand the terms with which they write. A communist liberal is well, not.
I'm going to get it. I don't write mean comments just to get read on. And because it's dumb. It's a waste of your time. Go make your own stuff.
And this was your 15 seconds of fame, Barry. You're not getting any more airtime.
Yes,
but
go make stuff of your own. You should drive me insane. People leave mean comments when I started making videos. They'd be like, I remember saying to one person, a young fella from the UK, and I was like, don't waste your time writing mean comments to me. Go make your own videos.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Good.
And they started, it's good. That's
you
fantastic.
You inspired somebody.
That's what I do. Aww. I believe that children are our future.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
Show
I mean?
Show them well and teach them the way.
Yeah, exactly. Show them all the beauty you possess inside. But only if they're...
It doesn't
mind.
Really matter.
It doesn't really matter. Let's go back to that. It's a much better ending. Hey, listen, thanks so much for listening and or watching to Politics is Broken. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube or brittlestar.com as well. You can read a little synopsis of the episode. You can see a little picture of us there probably. I don't know, maybe. Am I missing anything? If you're a paid subscriber, thank you very much. You can watch the video, full version of the video on Substack if you are a paid subscriber, which makes it a little more convenient for you. You don't have to go searching for it. Otherwise, find us on YouTube. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week, everybody.
Take care.
It was a pleasure. Bye.
You've been listening to Politics is Broken with Brittle Star and Lisa B. Remember to like, follow, subscribe, and comment. And don't forget to check out brittlestar.com for more.